This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Girl on Girl with your host, P. I hope you all had a really good weekend and happy Monday. I hope it's been treating you very well and you've all just been enjoying your summer. I feel like I say this all the time, but the time is just going by so, so fast. And August truly just, I don't know, you blink and it's already like mid-August. It's so crazy to me. Anyway, I don't want to take up too much time in this intro because I am just so excited about this week's guest. So for returning listeners, you guys will probably recognize who this guest is. I want to introduce you all to Donna Noble. She is a LGBTQ plus expert in relationships, and she's been helping couples for over 7 years with her wife, Ash. Ash unfortunately couldn't make it for this week's conversation, but I was able to have a one-on-one with Donna where we just talked all the things. It was super vulnerable. I learned so much, and I really think you all will too. Donna was actually on the podcast with Sarah and I way back in 2021. So this was the first year Sarah and I had launched the podcast. And for that episode, we basically got deep into queer relationships and also how people can navigate, you know, their first relationships with a queer partner. And I definitely at the time was talking to Donna about how women loving women relationships specifically can just feel almost like overwhelming, but in the best way, because there's so many emotions attached to it. And it was just truly so lovely. And after that experience, I just had no doubt in my mind that I wanted Donna to come back on this podcast. And for this one, we actually specifically get into attachment styles. I've actually noticed that while getting into my serious relationship with Crystal, I've learned so much more about my attachment style, which is, and we talk about this on the podcast, but it is a little bit more of an anxious attachment style. And Donna basically goes on to say how we can actually start to heal our attachment styles and lean into something more secure when we're in a primary partnership. So we talk about so many things where there's a myth that, you know, you need to be in a very secure place before you enter a relationship. But Donna goes on to explain that it's simply not true. And there are ways that you can heal even better while being in a primary relationship. This is just such a great convo. And Donna, thank you so, so much for being a part of the Girl on Girl conversation. I was so happy to have you back on and would definitely love to have Ash come on for another episode, because really you'll see this as we talk about it in the episode, but there's just so many different topics we can cover when it comes to queer relationships. I also just wanted to point out that Ash and Donna are launching a new course this October called Queer Love Essentials. It's a step-by-step toolkit for queer couples that want to heal from insecure attachment and move into security together, but they don't know how to do it. Right now, Ash and Donna are taking pre-orders for the course at 50% off until October 1st. So if any of you are interested, please DM Ash and Donna at Ash and Don Noble on Instagram and just respond to them with queer love and they will send you all the info. I hope you guys really, really enjoy this episode as much as I did. It's a really fabulous conversation. And of course, always let me know if you have any questions, any more topic ideas, anything else you want to be covered in this podcast. I am more than happy to talk to you about it and we can uncover all of these new learnings together. Thank you again, Donna, for joining in. And I hope you all enjoy this conversation.
Hi, Persis.
How are you, Donna? It's been a few years.
Yeah, I was trying to remember when we did this last.
You know what it was? It was 2021, because I think that was our first year of having the podcast. So like,
oh my gosh.
I know.
We're both still at it.
We're both still at it. I appreciate you jumping in on this.
I think you're having really important conversations with people and the couples and people you've interviewed. I love that it's out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We took a bit of a break. And then when we realized we couldn't do it together anymore, I'm like, we created something so good. Like I have the capacity to continue to do it. So
I love it. Awesome.
For anyone who doesn't know who you are, can you please just, you know, introduce yourself and give us a rundown on what you do?
Yeah. My name's Donna Noble, and I'm trained in a psychobiological approach to couples therapy by Dr. Stan Takin, who developed the theory. I work with my wife, Ash, and she's bummed she couldn't be here today. She would have loved to. And we work with queer couples, teaching them the skills and tools using a science-based approach to build secure relationships, secure love, in our 10-week program that we run with couples all over the world.
That's so amazing. I like that you said to build secure relationships, because for this episode, I kind of wanted to get a little deep on attachment theory, how that can affect our relationships as we all like individually have our own different attachment styles.
For sure.
For sure. And I think like I have noticed different styles in me as well. Like I'm in a committed relationship now. We've been dating for a year and a half.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you. It's been amazing. And I feel like typical queer fashion, and we probably talked about this in the last episode we had together. I feel like when it's a women loving women relationship, it can move very fast. It's like very emotional, but in the most beautiful way. But there's been so much discovery through that, and attachment has come up a lot in our conversation. So In your own words, like what is attachment theory and why do you think it's important we understand those in relationship?
Yeah. Attachment theory, there's so much we could talk about with attachment theory, but, you know, it was developed by John Bowlby and psychotherapist Mary Ainsworth. They did it together and it was kind of really started to be researched around the 1960s, but it's the number one predictor of how you're going to be in a relationship. And it starts when you're a baby. They really find that from age 0 to 5, whatever your relationship was like with your primary caregiver kind of imprints in your brain of what you believe that relationship is or is not. And so with that belief that you gained when you were a little kiddo, you bring that belief, that imprint, and project it onto your next primary relationship, which is our partner. It doesn't work the same with friends, coworkers, pets. That's kind of the baseline of it. It's a belief, an imprint based upon your first experiences from a child that we take then into our romantic relationships.
That's so interesting that it starts so young. A lot of it is our growing up. What are the different styles? Because for the longest time, I only thought there was like secure and anxious and avoidant, but I feel like there's more that goes into it. So what are like the official types of attachment?
Yeah, there are 4 specific ones that we really have been able to research and study that really define us. But there's anxious. I have a different language for it. I call it anxious waves. They can be more wave-like. Avoidance can be more island-like. And we can talk about the definitions. And then there's like fearful avoidant or disorganized. They also call it disorganized attachment. And each one of those comes with its own special, unique experience if you're in a relationship with one.
Yeah, I mean, actually, because I found out about disorganized attachment, is it when the reactions can be a little bit more, not, I don't want to use the word aggressive so lightly, but is it kind of like that?
The disorganized, you can, we see that it can tend to play off both. It can tend to pull from both sides. And you don't really know that you can flow. I have a tough time with really saying that that's true, because one thing that we know is that attachment style is not our personality. And that's a really important thing for people to know. And we all want to label ourselves, and we all want to put meaning to the behavior that we're experiencing of ourselves or of others, when really it's just it's information on what we've gone through and trauma on experiences, what we had or what we didn't have in a relationship. I like to say that you can be wave-ish or island-ish, because depending on who you're with, you can be more anxious, or maybe with a different partner, you might be more avoidant.
So I think as much as we can develop these attachment styles as we're younger, like who we choose to be with can also, like, it can change. Like, I don't think it's always set in stone.
Absolutely not. The brain is pliable. It's beautiful. And so the brain is always on the lookout for threat, right? That's why it's really fascinating, because people get in these, they call them the honeymoon phase. And they're like, why isn't it as good as it was before? But what happens is, once we see our partner as permanent, the person that we should be able to depend on, trust in, look to, that's when those attachment wounds start coming to life. And it can feel confusing, because, like, once I have a ring on my finger, we move in together, or get married, I should feel more secure. But really, it will actually activate those attachment styles, those insecure attachment styles.
I hear a lot of people say things like, oh, I'm secure avoidant, or I'm anxious secure. Like, do you think that's possible, or do you feel like it is you're just one style, but maybe, like, we fluctuate, kind of like you said, it's wave in time.
For sure. I mean, we can absolutely, there's parts of me that are, I do this for a living, and there's parts of me that are secure, that I've, and the part of me that I can lean heavy into the avoidant. I think just giving space for it to, it's kind of fluid, you know, but it's just information. If I'm being really avoidant in conflict, that's information for my wife too, to help see what's coming up here, that we can care for it together as a couple. And we can talk about more about how this plays into relationship, but it's not something to say I am. It's like saying I am anxious, I am avoidant. That's not true. It's just information on what needs to be cared for.
I love that, because I think we get so hung up on the fact that this is the definition of us. Like, I've said that before about myself, because I skew more anxious attachment for sure, which I didn't even realize I really was until I actually got into my, well, no, I guess when I got into, like, romantic relationships, but even in my partnership with Crystal, my girlfriend, the more we've talked about it, I've become more secure. So I think the more communication you have with your partner and they're receptive to it, it can make the biggest difference in the world.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these beliefs that we have coming into relationship, like anxious individuals, right? What we find is that they had access to connection at times and sometimes not. And because of that, it almost creates, like, I wrote down, like, this list of what anxious people are like in relationship, in conflict, in repair. But with the inconsistency of sometimes you're loved and sometimes you don't have access to it, sometimes your parent is right in front of you and you still can't access to them, that creates almost like an addiction. And it's almost like gambling. Like, sometimes I win, sometimes I don't. But then it creates this undertone where you're like, when your partner distances himself in some capacity, it creates that big fear. I don't know when I'm going to get connection with you again.
In conflict with my partner, we've taken quizzes and stuff to see, like, what our attachment styles are, but he's kind of the type who's like, if we're in a conflict, it's good to kind of, like, take a little space. Like, she'll go for a walk, clear her head. But me, coming off as the and I know this now, anxious, I would be like, no, like, we need to resolve this,
right?
That's gonna freak me out if you're
that's
going for a walk.
Worst case scenario for you. Yeah And it's worst case scenario for them too, to leave, right? The avoidant person they're so used to no one attuning to their emotions when they were growing up. No one came to find them and comfort them, you know, so they have this belief, like, I'm all on my own. And the more you cling and pursue, the more they want to be independent and flee, which will then turn the volume up quick in you. And so what they're really doing is creating more work for themselves, because when they go away and they come back, you're more anxious and worried, you know. Sorry if I'm labeling you, just say that's not true, Dawn.
No, that's true. It is 100% true.
yeah. So I mean, it all plays in together. This is such an important piece.
What do you think are some signs of anxious attachment in a relationship? And we can do avoidant too, I guess, like to compare. Sure. Like, what are, if someone's trying to figure out what is my attachment style, what do you think are the first like signs?
Anxious individuals want to be in connection. We want to do everything together with you. We can be in conflict if the partner doesn't want to resolve it right now in the moment. That can be a lot. Anxious, I know we don't love these words, but anxious individuals can feel needy or clingy at times to an avoidant who wants space. And so like sometimes when I'm working with couples, like I notice even when your partner, if you're anxious and your partner just turns their back, that can make you anxious just from a small movement of the body language. They can be hypercritical, but it's just fear of worrying that it's not, the shoe's going to drop. It can also feel like for their partner that nothing's enough. They're constantly waiting for something to happen, constantly on the lookout for their partner to disappoint them or cheat on them or lie to them, you know?
For sure. And I guess the opposite would be, mm-hmm. if you're avoidant, I don't know if it's like you don't want to communicate, because I feel like there are avoidant mm-hmm. people who do, but what do you mm-hmm. think those are? What are signs mm-hmm. of an avoidant person?
Mm-hmm. Avoidant people, because they had no emotional attunement when they were young, they believe that emotions are, there's no point. Emotions, vulnerability is too dangerous. If you get too close too quickly, they'll distance themselves. They tend to want to fix things really quickly instead of care for the emotional aspect of their partner, which anxious individuals need to help heal that. I wrote a bunch of, check this out. This is crazy. These are my notes from, I was just writing out some thoughts here. One thing with avoidant individuals is in conflict, they can be very sensitive to tone. Big body mannerisms, they hate being a disappointment to their partner, and they live a lot of times in performance. A lot of them are really good at what they do. I like to say, like, sometimes in conflict with your partner, it feels like they're playing dead right in front of you. Like, you know, you get this blank stare back at you, or they're totally zoning out at their phone, or, you know.
Wow. Okay. No, but that makes so much sense because they, it's almost like maybe the anxious person is going to be like very emotional, like communicating, like I almost call it, nothing's wrong with over communicating, but it could mm-hmm. be that. But the person who's avoidant is like, nope, it's not setting in mm-hmm. for me. Yeah.
Right. The thing about this, I don't want to call anybody out, but what Dr. Stan Takin has said, which was really helpful for me as an individual, because I lean more avoidant, is avoidant partners, people believe that they're the easier of the two, that they're less complicated, that they have less problems. Why do you have to make everything a big deal? In reality, they're the more difficult of the two attachments.
Wow. Is it because at least with the anxious attachment style, there's more opportunity to maybe talk or get involved?
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Vulnerable?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you are being, as an anxious partner, sorry, I keep referring to an anxious as you, but like, yeah, I mean, you think, little Johnny is over there just playing by himself. Isn't he so great? He's not causing any problems, you know? And, when I'm working with a couple, I have them face each other to teach them how to read each other's body language, because communication starts with the body. With an anxious partner, the avoidant can see so much. There's facial movement, there's tone inflection, you're expressing what you need. It's right to the point. We can get to it. We can care for it. And with an avoidant, you don't get access to this part of me. You have to earn this part of me. And if I share it with you, this is a gift that you should appreciate. And so what happens is the anxious partner ends up having to work so much harder to get their avoidant to buy in and to join them in resolving conflict and making decisions together.
So for people who identify as like a secure attachment style, how do we get to that point? Or are they genuinely just born with secure attachment?
No. That's a great question. No, I think that we can have secure parts. And if we were raised in, I mean, I don't think any of us come out without something to navigate as far as who we are, what we believe about relationships, ourselves. But what we find is that with attachment, whether you're insecure, anxious, disorganized, you can heal. We actually find that you heal quicker and can move towards secure faster in a primary relationship. There's a huge myth out there that you need to do your own work before you should be in a relationship. That's bullshit. And that's causing a lot of harm, I think. I think individual work is important for sure. But if we're going to heal attachment, it's going to be in relationship. And this is what my wife and I do with queer couples, is teach these exact things. In these moments of conflict, when I'm shutting down, my wife is getting anxious, how do we as a couple protect our relationship, even from ourselves at times, in a way that actually starts healing those attachment wounds that we believe?
That makes a lot of sense, because mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think mm-hmm. even on my own, and knowing I had this attachment style, I found I actually got a lot better, or was able to heal those mm-hmm. wounds in my primary relationship. And yeah. That's not to say it was easy in the beginning. Like, we were discovering so much, because Crystal and I are very different personalities, extremely mm-hmm. different. And I would actually even say she leans more avoidant. So it is those opposites, right? And I think mm-hmm. that we've kind of come to like embrace those sides, and she's kind of healing mm-hmm. her wounds.
Yeah.
What she's learning from me as more mm-hmm. of the anxious person, and I'm learning from her as the avoidant, but it's leaning me into more of a secure place to yeah. not be so anxious, to kind of be like, yeah, if you do go for a walk, or if you need a little space, a little air, I don't need to like get all nervous and freak out. Like, I can let yeah. you do that. And it's funny to say that out loud, but I was not the person who loved that kind of vibe. If she mm-hmm. needed her space to go for a walk, I was like, well, why? We could, let's mm-hmm. just sit and talk more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. In the moment that the couple, if we're going to take care of the couple in that moment, everybody asks me, is taking a break okay? Is it okay to take a break? And it absolutely is. But if you just take a break, if you just leave without any kind of like, hey, this really matters to me, you and me are going to figure this out. And I know I could do a better job if I had like 30 minutes here. I promise you, I'm going to come find you as soon as I get back. And that's after we've already tried to co-regulate together. We as a couple have tried our best to care for each other, calm the nervous system. It's almost like a mom soothing a baby. We do it together. If that doesn't work, then we go to taking a break and coming back. Too many people are too good at just self-regulating on their own. And we want to stop doing that. When there's two of us, we can help each other much quicker.
If you can't solve something in the moment, something mm-hmm. sometimes like taking that time to just maybe let like the heat to pass a little bit. Like, I think always going on a walk and coming back, you can kind of have mm-hmm. like a little bit more of like a different perspective to clear your thoughts.
Oh yeah. Walks are great. I mean, when you're activated in this triggered state, your body goes into like, you know, all your blood flow, Your heart rate escalates, your muscle tone goes to the out, like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, you know? So moving your body can help process and move that energy. That can be great, but we want to do it first as a couple. In the moment we're triggered and you are the one that hurt me, how do we as a couple fix this together instead of turn on each other? Because that is going to perpetuate those attachment wounds.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you find, or if you've seen this as well when you work with couples, like when you have mismatched attachment styles, what do you think would be the best way to just like navigate those together? Does it like start with just first understanding? Because I think that's hard, because if you are a certain type of way and you're trying to figure out a conflict, it can take a lot to kind of put yourself in the other person's shoes right away, especially if you're affected or triggered by something, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the majority of couples that I've ever worked with, and I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of couples, it's always mixed matched with attachments. The anxious and the avoidant somehow pair together. But that doesn't have to be a bug. It can be a benefit, honestly.
How can you navigate that together?
Yeah. I mean, I think number one is coming to an agreement as a couple. Like, hey, you and I are both bringing in different traumas, histories, upbringings. And that's something that we didn't cause these traumas and these insecure attachments, but we are committed to care for them when they come up. So whether you're anxious and you're worried, I'm going to not come back, or whether you shut down and try to take care of yourself when you really need to be comforted, we're going to learn how to be experts on each other in those exact moments. Like, so it's an agreement of coming together to care for it.
I love that. And I could be wrong with this, but I also wonder if when it's mismatched styles, I feel like that can almost in a way like allow you to really learn off of each other. But do you find, let's say there's two avoidants in a partnership, or two anxious attachments, two disorganized. How is that? I don't even know. Like, I wonder how that would be.
Yeah. I mean, it can be complicated. I mean, as the provider, as the support for me, as my role would be to get them to buy into why it's worth even trying something new. But you have to have a new experience. We live off of our past, of our memories. And so when you reach out for help or get support, I would say that if you're working with someone that's good, they'll give you an experience in real time together. If we're both avoidant and we're both afraid to address a topic that feels really loaded, you show them how to have an experience together around addressing something without it going into their worst fear. And that's so rare that I actually see that. But I would say those individuals definitely need some support.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you find there's a difference between like how attachment theory plays a role in the dynamics of a long-term relationship versus a short-term relationship?
Do I find that it plays a role?
Yeah, like just in a change of dynamics. Like if it's, because I think you brought up a really good point in how we can like heal these parts of ourselves when we are in like a primary partnership. And if it's like a long-term versus a short-term, I don't know if that's like a weird question, but.
Oh, no, that's good. I'm just thinking through it. But, you know, attachment, whether it's long-term or short-term, I think what I said in the beginning, like once we see our partner as permanent, that's going to go at play. I don't think the brain really understands the difference between long or short, but, you know, relationships is an adult's game. And so regardless of short or long, we have to understand and respect people aren't trying to be difficult. People aren't trying to be needy or irresponsible or careless with emotion. We're all just kind of hurt in different ways and we want to be loved, but nobody teaches us, Persis. No one teaches us how to be in relationship. You know, we fall in love, and especially in the queer community, a lot of us lose relationship or have had to fight to be in relationship. And then we get there and it's hard.
Yeah. Like also with like being queer and like navigating like what's societal norms and
nation.
So there's already all that unlearning we have to do. And another thing too, is with this being my first long-term relationship, because I've only really known short-term relationships, but when you brought up when something feels permanent, that's when you really can look inward and It's great. I love it. It was scary at first in the sense you're finding certain things out about yourself that maybe you're like, oh gosh, I would love to work on this because I just want to not be causing like stress, or even the anxious side of me was like, it's so good to get to a place when you're feeling a lot more secure.
Yeah. And as an anxious individual, you have to be careful that you're not just going along with what your partner wants, because you want connection. You don't want to lose connection. So like setting boundaries, or asking for what you need can feel scary at times. What's the last thing you said? There was something you said that was really good. I wanted to comment on it. It's too bad we can't rewind.
I know, in real time. I'll find it after.
Yeah. This is what it was. You know, when we're in relationship and we're wondering like, what am I, or where is this wound? A good sign would be, the bigger the reaction, the older the wound. Sometimes we think that is so irrational. Like, why are you having this big reaction? It wasn't a big deal. Like, that's information. Like, whoa, there's something here that needs to be cared for. Or why did you just shut down so quickly when we made that little joke?
Yeah, like that. I love that because it's true. It's not something to really graze over. Like that's pointing to something deeper that we need to look at. And I think when it is conflict, when there's a time of conflict, it's like knowing that is eye-opening. Like there's things I've even discovered that I'm like, oh, that I had a very big reaction to that. And why? Like, let me dig a little deeper.
Yeah. And the other thing you can do if you notice that in your partner, or it's kind of permission-based care, is when you say, hey, when you notice these things, can you help me? Because I want to do well at this. And I'm committed to get better at this because I know it can be tough for both of us, but will you help me?
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be really helpful for both attachment styles.
What do you think are some steps someone can take to develop a more secure attachment?
You want to do it with a partner that is in agreement with the work, with why you're doing it. It will not work if you try to convince your partner to join you. It's like clapping with one hand. It does not work. So you want to be in relationship with somebody who agrees, hey, this is the work we're committed to do, because we know that secure love is way, as secure functioning love is what we're about. It's way different than healthy attachment. We are committed to this because we want a lifelong relationship together that's secure and healthy. And we know now that the primary relationship, if this is off, you might've heard this before, but it's so incredible. If our primary relationship is off or insecure, it will impact, it's a ripple effect. How you parent, how you show up for work, your health, it actually eliminates years of your life when you're in a chronically bad relationship.
Yeah, just mentally, like that's a lot. Yeah,
it's brutal. I mean, it's your place of rest, of connection, of safety. I mean, you can't get around it. If you're if you're struggling in your relationship and you're like, let's go on vacation, or let's have a baby, or let's, you know, we'll figure this out after our school's over or something. It's like you are making your life so much harder by not caring for this and prioritizing it right away.
For sure.
Anyways, I'm very passionate about this topic.
No, 100%. And I wonder if as well, when people kind of, you know, when you're trying to take all these like next steps, but you're not fully like ready for it, it's almost like putting a Band-Aid on things, but that's just like going to keep piling up and the problems are still going to exist. Even if you decide to like get married, go have a baby, like that doesn't change the dynamic.
Yeah. No, people think that if they double down on their commitment, then it will fix it. And that's very avoidant. Or you're looking for a fix. You want to stay in that high of love connection.
I was wondering if like attachment theory can offer insights into relationships that are beyond our romantic relationships, like attachment theories with your friends and your family.
I think that's a good question. And, you know, Dr. Stan Takin talks about this, that you can attach to other primary friendships, but if there's agreement of interdependency, where we both agree of how we're going to be in a relationship, how we're going to lean on each other and trust in each other. You can absolutely have that with a friendship.
Okay.
But we're not looking for that in we're not looking for codependency, we're looking for interdependency.
Yes.
But you can do that with an agreement together with the relationship that you're in.
That's really fascinating. And mm-hmm. I guess I was wondering that too, because I feel when we're in our romantic partnerships, those are the partners you're like, you know, you're building like a life with, where I think this attachment theory can really mm-hmm. play in a larger dynamic. Whereas with our friendships, I do think there's a bit of a difference into how that's going to be impacting your life long term.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that you can have that with be in a relationship, in a closed relationship, and have that with a friend.
Yes.
I think you have to prioritize that primary relationship. If not, it will be bad news. You'll create yes. insecurity and threat if you look to a friend and put a friend as equals with your partner. That won't work.
Very true. No, that's actually something my partner and I were even just having an open conversation about mm-hmm. attachment styles. And I was like, I wonder if that's the same with friends. Like, because I've had some very close friendships in my life just that I've known for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my cat just made an appearance. But yeah, like where that can compare in terms of like your like close best friend compared to like your relationship. I feel like I could go on a whole other like tangent. Mm. This might have to be like part two, but
yeah,
one of my friends was mentioning she believes like the priorities should kind of be in line with each other, like platonic and intimacy, which I don't agree with, because I think at the end of the day, your romantic relationship is an entirely different relationship mm-hmm. than your friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I actually deal with that a lot. We do every week in our program, we offer group couples coaching. So all the couples in the program, all the queer couples come together on Zoom and we talk about these things. And so many of them are navigating friendships they've had so much longer than the ones they've had with their partner. And now I'm challenging them to prioritize their relationship over that person. It's fascinating. So many people are trying to navigate that shift of importance. Like, do I go to my best friend and process with them first, or do I go to my partner? But what if my partner is the offender? Can I go to my best friend? Right. But anyways, that could be a whole different podcast, but no, you want to prioritize your relationship with your partner. Imagine you're in a three-legged race. You move in tandem. If one goes too fast, we both fall. This is a two-person system. Unless you're in a throuple or open relationship, the two of you, no one else is allowed in that space, not even close. And if friends are involved, or your phone's too involved, or your pet's too involved, we find the insecure attachment starts happening.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.